Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Would you just sing that again? Just soak us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Soak us, Holy Spirit. Rain down on us. Let these words just get deep in our soul. Just wash us by your word right now. That's it. Just sing to him. Just sing. Create that atmosphere because it's so beautiful, so heavy. It's pregnant. It's ready to burst in people. Thank you, Jesus. That's beautiful. Thank you, Lord. That's it. We need your presence. That's it. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. That's it. Light upon each of us. Oh, I feel your electricity in this place. Thank you, Lord. Send in ministering angels into this place. Thank you, Lord. That's it. That's it. That's it. Fall fresh on us tonight. In Jesus' name. That's it. Renew us, Lord. That's it. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Does that feel good in the spirit? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remove every obstacle, Lord. Let your spirit just fall on us right now. In Jesus' name, let there be a hunger that rises up out of us. There's a place in praise in you that you just explode in him because you're in an environment you can't hold it back. It's like Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I cannot keep quiet. I've got to praise him. I've got to release my praise because the Bible says if you be quiet, even the stones will cry out because there's something about his presence, the electricity of his presence. The presence, it just wants to explode in you. It wants to touch every cell in your body until you vibrate with the synchronicity of heaven, till Jesus shows up in you and just explodes you from within. And people see and they experience Jesus all around you till he turns up the power in us and we begin to glow like him, until we begin to be light bearers, until we begin to be on fire. Lord, we pray for spontaneous combustion in Jesus' name. I pray for those that are dry tonight. Lord God, they're in a place right now where they can spontaneously combust. It doesn't even take a lot. It takes a little spark of your presence. And we just ask you, Lord, ignite us together. Just ask him right now, ignite me tonight, Lord God. Ignite me in Jesus' name. Burn off everything that is not of you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we just ask you to increase the power of your Holy Spirit in each of us. Increase the flow of the Holy Spirit. Increase the capacity of your word and the revelation of the word. In Jesus' name, let us go out of here just full. In Jesus' name, brand new identity. In Jesus' name, covered by you, anointed by you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Like the sons of Aaron, let us be rubbed down with the anointing oil on our head, on our beard, until it gets on our garment, and then everything we touch becomes holy. Everything we touch. When I go home to my family and I touch them, they have the same experience that I do, because there's a holy anointing oil. It carries the presence. It carries the DNA of heaven. Hallelujah. And anything you touch becomes holy, like he is holy. In Jesus' name. I want you to lay hands on your neighbor right now. I believe you're going to feel the Holy Ghost flow through you like electricity. You see, you need to come into contact. If we're going to be the body of Christ, every cell in me needs to touch every other cell to transmit the energy in my body. And we are the body of Christ. I want you to lay hands on some here. Grab hands. Father, we ask you, let the power of your Holy Spirit come into the body in Jesus' name. Let the ignition begin. Let the electricity go through this body in Jesus' name. Let the mind of Christ come down into your body in Jesus' name. You're looking for a body for your head in Jesus' name. We offer ourselves up as the body, as a living sacrifice unto you, holy and acceptable unto God in Jesus' name. We ask you to get everything out of the way. Everything that resists the current of God, everything that resists the electricity of heaven, Jesus, you take the path of no resistance. In Jesus' name, we surrender. Tell him right now, I surrender. I don't want to resist you anymore. I want the fullness of what you can give me. In Jesus' name, I want the full inheritance of what you left us. In Jesus' name. Full inheritance tonight. Full sonship. It doesn't matter who you used to be, you're brand new today. In Christ, you're a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're going to look a little bit more like Jesus. You're going to sound a little bit more like Jesus. You're going to smell like him. You're going to walk like him. You're going to talk like him. Because that's what he came. He came to be inside you. He came to make the Word flesh. And he wants to be flesh in you. He didn't just do it in his own body. The whole plan is that he would have a body, that he would make himself flesh in you and dwell among us. Hallelujah. I pray for my brother and sister that they would have a breakthrough tonight, that they would be charged with your Spirit, that they would see signs and wonders, Lord, to come into a brand new level of expectation, a brand new season of growth in Jesus' name. Where they used to be dry trees, they would just spring up. They would shoot out their branches and they would just blossom. They would just be so beautiful and they would bear fruit. And they would bear fruit in every season because they don't have to wait for the perfect climate. They don't have to wait for the perfect storm because they're tapped into that underground supply that never runs dry. Jesus, I pray that you tap them in like into the rivers of living water that never stop, that flow from the throne, that as we enthrone you tonight, right now, there's a river flowing through this place. There's a river flowing underneath their feet. And if their taproot of their desire begins to get a tap into that water supply, they will never be dry. They'll be like the Samaritan woman at the well that you gave her promise. When you drink it, that you'll never be thirsty again. You will be satisfied. Take us to that place tonight. We want full satisfaction. We've been searching for it in all the wrong places, and it's only in you. You said joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, Jesus. That's it. Just pour out that joy. You said you'd give us the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, we just shake off heaviness right now. If you've got heaviness on you, just shake it off. It's that easy in the anointing. In Jesus' name, I'll just shake off. And I thank you for the oil of gladness. Jesus' name, thank you for a fresh anointing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See, they poured that anointing oil on kings and prophets. And when they poured it, it would cause the Holy Spirit to come upon them. With Saul, it said it turned him into another man. In that anointing of the apothecary, there are five ingredients: acacia, the cinnamon, the olive oil, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And individually, these are five separate ingredients. But when they lose their identity and they're just mixed up as the anointing oil, there's something about losing your identity in the body and the Holy Spirit coming upon you. How blessed it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like that precious oil that's poured upon Aaron's head. And it goes down. Can you just see that thick oil just pouring on his head? David got the whole horn of oil. How many of you want the whole horn? I want everything. I want God's best. You give Him your best, and He will give you His best. He will pour the whole horn of oil. There's an inheritance in Jesus that there's only a full horn. He doesn't give out half. He doesn't give out portions. The Bible said He had the anointing without measure, and He will pour the whole horn of oil. How hungry are you to have? I don't know about you, but I want the full inheritance. I want everything. And if there are some mantles laying around that nobody's picked up, I want to grab that mantle like Elisha. I want to follow somebody until they discard their mantle, and I want to pick it up because I know what it's worth. It's the birthright. It's the birthright. It's, you know, the firstborn gets a double portion. He gets the lion's share. Jesus was the firstborn among many. But the thing is, in Him, when you're baptized into Him, when you receive His Holy Spirit, you get in Him. And in Him is the full portion, the double portion. The double portion was given to the firstborn so he could take care of his family members when the father was gone. I'm a firstborn. Lord Jesus, we want our full portion through you. Come on, you got to know what's available, but you got to ask for it. You got to demand it. He wants you to exercise your faith and understanding. He wants to give it to you more than you want to get it. But He wants to see your faith. He wants to know that you're willing to pay whatever price it takes. Because you know what? We have this mistaken thing that we think grace is free. But you know what? It costs Him everything. There's a price to grace. You ask a soldier, there's a price to freedom and liberty. There's people that died to give you the freedom and liberty. And Jesus died to give it all to you. So Lord, we put a demand on the anointing. I put a demand on the power of your cross. I put a demand on the Holy Spirit as it fell on the day of Pentecost. I put a demand on the gifts of your Spirit, Lord God, in Jesus, and not only in my life, but in all of our lives, that you would manifest the very love of God that show people how precious they are to you. Because God gave His only begotten Son. Oh, God. Just worship Him for a second. Hallelujah. You know, this is one thing. The Bible says to covet the best gifts. In any other thing, coveting is wrong. It's a sin. But he really wants you to lust after His Spirit, after His gifts. Covet after the best gifts. So, Lord, I want to have a single mind focus. I just want to focus on you. I just want to look in your eyes. I just want that intimate embrace. We just want to see you as we are. Because when we see you and we have a revelation of you, we can actually see who we can become. So Lord, I ask you for a revelation. What's missing in us? What is it that you have for us tonight that we haven't gotten because we just don't know about it? There's so many things that we're not even tapped into that are available. Everybody say, I want it all. Just say that. I want it all. I want my portion. And my portion is Jesus' portion. Amen? He didn't do all this for himself. He did all for all of us. So, Lord, I'm not proud. I want the portion that you have because you made me a joint heir. That means I get to sign the same checkbook. I'm joint. You have a joint checking account? You get to draw on the funds. If I've got a joint account with Jesus, all the Father has. I mean, there are worlds being created by the power of His Word right now. It's an ever-expanding universe. Yes, any physicist, it's going on and on and on. Amen? I tell you, it's so big, you can't even handle the truth. You may be seated. Do I have permission to get crazy? I tell you what, I feel good. I could sing that song, you know, like, I feel good. But we won't go there. Oh, turn with me to Isaiah 55:1. See, we just need to get caught up in a prophetic flow. I tell you, in your prayer life, the Bible says faith comes by word, the word, and the word by hearing. And sometimes if you just get in the spirit and tune your mind to hear the word of God, you'll start praying a prophetic prayer that you didn't even know you're going to pray. And it will cause faith to ignite in your heart because it goes from your mouth to your ear. And you'll pray things that you didn't even know to pray for. And sometimes when you speak in tongues, the Bible says Spirit prays through you things that you didn't know to pray. So there's all kinds of prayers that you can get involved in that you really need to spend time in prayer. When I was in college, when I first got saved, I could spend like 5 minutes in prayer and I got bored because I didn't know what prayer was all about. So I prayed about that. I said, Lord, I'm asking you to help me pray longer. Right? So it was that same day. It was like January. I was in Cleveland and I was in art school and I went and did my laundry, right? A cold basement. When you walked out my door, it's like the same as outside. And so was the laundry room. So I'm in a hooded sweatshirt, and I got running shorts on. So I came back, and you know what? I locked myself out. He taught me to pray longer that day. I was praying that somebody come back and let me in because I was freezing. You know, talk about desperation. And you know what? One of my roommates actually came back. But I tell you what, you know, I learned to pray. And then the thing is, when you love to pray, when you learn to get in the spirit and you rest, it's like, man, you can see things. I think I've been to Jerusalem. I saw the Golden Dome. You know, I've seen those things in the spirit. I've been different places. I spoke in tongues in Korean and Chinese, and you know, it seemed kind of weird, but the Bible talks about speaking in diverse tongues, right? And long ago, people would go to foreign lands and they would actually speak those foreign languages under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In fact, sometimes they would go based on the tongue that they got. Isn't that crazy? And they're preaching now I like it right here. It feels good. Because sometimes I don't have to look at you. I can just get lost. So Isaiah chapter 55 and 1. What I'm talking about tonight is, and I don't want this to be confusing, but I want to talk about the exchange. Everybody say the exchange. The exchange rate. Say that. The exchange rate. And then say the rate of exchange. They're three different things, and I hope you can remember that. I'm sure they're taping everything. You know, one thing you got to look at the whole Bible, it's Old Testament. You got to look in the mindset of their time. And one thing you got to understand is when they talk about, like Jesus says in Revelation, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that may be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That word buy means barter. So there's this concept in the Bible about trading. What do you have to trade? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul, kind of thing, right? What do you have? You know, really, part of the answer is we don't have anything. Jesus gave us everything. Well, he's the lamb, right? What do? I take him as the lamb. This is my sacrifice. He's my perfect sacrifice. Doesn't get any better than that. So I come into the Father and I'm accepted because Jesus already paid the whole price, right? But he had to pay everything to get it. He had to give everything away so that we could get what he had. So that's part of the revelation tonight. What is exchange? If you don't know what he exchanged, then you're not really tapping into the fullness of what Jesus actually did. Does that make sense? I've got to know what he left behind. You know, with Elijah, he dropped a mantle. And the first thing Elisha did was he took it up and he smote the waters of Jordan and said, where is the God of Elijah? And the waters parted just like they did Elijah. And then Elisha goes on his ministry and did twice. Remember, he asked for a double portion. He did twice as many miracles. Isn't that crazy? What about the man that I think Elisha was on his deathbed and this king comes in and he has this war going on and Elisha says, take the arrows and beat them on the ground, then shoot one out the window, right? See, there's all kinds of secrets of how much you can get. And it, I think the Bible says he beat the ground two or three times because he really didn't invest himself in that prophetic act. And Elisha said, dude, you know, you could have wiped out the enemy forever. But now he's coming back in a couple seasons because that's all you did. So what are you going to give in exchange tonight? Are you going to tap in? Are you going to understand you only get what you put in? You're the multiplier tonight. What kind of blessing do you want? There was a preacher I liked a long time ago when I was first saved. And this guy had revelation and authority. He had a military mindset. He was in the Navy. And I just loved everything. And when he caught my attention, the Holy Spirit saw me looking at him. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, you see this man? He said, I've withholden nothing from him. Because he's withholding nothing from me. You want to grow in grace and knowledge? Then you got to give it all away. He's the pearl of great price. You got to understand what kind of treasure he really is. Because in him is everything. In him you get back everything. You know, I once had to leave a church that I was in because I got a revelation of the kingdom. And they were a church. And I was just getting this revelation that, you know, I'd ask people, you know, what did Jesus get back when he died at the cross? And they would say, salvation of people. I said, no. He got back everything. He got back everything Adam and Eve lost, the authority over the earth. He redeemed everything. Everything is ours. He redeemed us from the curse. I don't have to worry about thorns and thistles anymore. You know, I think that's what the crown of thorns was all about. He was the king. They mocked him, put thorns on his head. But you know what? They didn't realize it was going to release blood. And that blood redeemed us from the curse. It redeemed our kingship. Is that crazy? I'm telling you, the Bible says he's made us kings and priests unto our God. We're the new Melchizedekic order, right? Our realm is peace, just like it was his. Isn't that crazy? I mean, who's going to walk in the fullness of what he did? I'm not walking it yet, but I know there's more, and I'm grasping for more. The Bible said, if any man be a lover of God, the same will be known of him. I'll tell you what, if any man be hungry, you're going to know he's hungry. Yeah, I love when David came dancing into Jerusalem with the ark in back of him. And McCall made fun and said, "You, what are you doing? You made such a fool of yourself." Now, I love that song. I can be more undignified than this, right? Because when you get to that point and you understand the reward, you understand the pearl, you understand the treasure in the field that a man finds, and he goes and sells everything else, and he buys that field because he knows that's the answer to every dilemma he will ever have in his life. You know, even insurance, you don't, or you know, 401k, you don't get the whole thing unless you're fully invested. You know what that means? You got to be all in, right? You got to push all the chips of life into the table and have nothing left to really get to that jackpot that's in Jesus. Does that make sense? See, some people, you don't know why you're not growing. You know, it's not that exciting. Prayer life is down. You know, it might be because you just need to surrender. You just need to go all in. You just need to leave nothing behind the cross. Because it's like the eye of a needle. You can't get there with all your stuff. You got to go through, and it's got to be your spirit and your soul. Because flesh and blood doesn't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Isaiah chapter 55 and 1. Tell you what, let's go 53 and 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. We didn't esteem him. We didn't know what he was worth. The Bible says in John, he came to his own and his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, got a hold, knew who he was, gave he the legal right to become the sons of God. See, there's a displacement that happened for a season with Israel. The time of the Gentiles came in. We got grafted into a living olive tree. All the beautiful stuff that flowed through Jesus, we got grafted in. Now we're bearing his fruit, not on our own, but through the life flow of the Holy Spirit through us. I'm telling you, that's what the dunamis power. It's to give you power to do things that you cannot earthly do by yourself. Not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. When you walk in this thing and it's real, I'm telling you, doors will open for you. Favor will happen. People will come into your path. There's all kinds of angels that will redirect you and help you and guide you. Because Jesus wants, you think he wants to make a difference with people that walk with him that way? Zechariah, you know, talk about esteeming him. Zechariah said, prophesied. And I said unto them, if you think it good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed me out 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, cast in unto the potter a goodly price, that I was priced of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter's house of the Lord. How much was Jesus betrayed for? 30 pieces of silver. What did they do with it when Judas realized he betrayed innocent blood? The priest used it to buy the potter's field. This was prophesied hundreds of years before that even happened. You know what's so beautiful about that? The potter's field was where all the broken vessels were, where all the discarded junk was. You know what 30 pieces of silver? That's what it would cost to buy a gourd slave. A slave that had been run through by a bull. Wasn't much help. That's what they esteemed him. That's the price. And what a prophetic picture of him buying back all the broken vessels that we are. All the shattered lives. All the people that never reached their destinies. All the people that had no hope without him. It's really beautiful when you think about it. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, a chastisement for our peace was upon him. You know, a bruise is blood underneath the skin. That's how he redeemed healing for the inner man. He released blood on the inside of his body for the things that you would have that a lot of people don't see in you, because it's hidden underneath your skin and underneath your clothes, and you don't want to show anybody. He took 39 stripes at the whipping post on the way to the cross. Said in the law, all you could give was 39, because 40 would kill a man. But it wasn't until he got to the 39th one that he was declared innocent. Jesus took 39 stripes so you could have the exchange of innocence. Is that crazy? It's like a newborn babe. It's like a virgin. It's like somebody that's never been touched. It's like a lake in Canada that's never had anybody on it. Just like that soak in. How beautiful that is. I was just hearing about something today. A man was teaching. And he said that there's a reason why people never recognize Jesus after the crucifixion. And I always thought, you know, glorified Jesus, he looks the same. Let me read this. It talks about him being disfigured more than any other man. Think of this. When he shows up and doubting Thomas, he says, "Thrust your hand in my side." The wound in the side is still there. The nail prints in his hand are still there. When he showed up, they were frighted. When he shows up on the beach, they didn't recognize him. When the men walked with him on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him. Because just like it said in Isaiah, he was marred beyond any recognition. They plucked his beard. They beat him to the point where he didn't even look like a man anymore. You know why? So we could have his identity. So we could be his face. You ever seen one of those pictures? It's a beautiful picture maybe of Jesus, but it's just made up of people. When you look really close, it's thousands of people. That's a beautiful picture of his body. See, it's not about one person, it's about his body. And if we could ever get in unity and be the body instead of trying to be individuals, then there'd be a mighty anointing that would rest on us because he would get glorified. He was pierced for our transgressions. Think of this. Psalms, David prophesied. He said, "These evil ones pierced my hands and my feet. They stood around me." This is like 600 years. Realize the technology of killing somebody on a cross hasn't even been invented. They stone people. And if you know anything about the prophetic anointing, I think David's deep in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, he's actually looking through the eyes of Jesus prophetically. He's scanning around in his spirit and he sees these people. He sees himself on a cross and he prophesies exactly what Jesus says on the cross. How beautiful that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's 600 years before it ever happened. Men are prophesying. They're having the experience of being on the cross. David said, all my bones are disjointed. He's actually talking about medical conditions that Jesus is feeling on the cross. He talks, you know, even Isaiah or Zechariah, "And they shall look upon me whom they pierced." You know, I talked to a Jewish man one time and I traded him a Bible. He traded me a Pentateuch. And I said, "How do you deal with this scripture in Zechariah? And they shall look upon me whom they pierced," because I'm talking about Jesus. He didn't really want to talk about that. You know, there are actually places in Isaiah that strict Jews don't even want to talk about because God's talking first person singular about being on the cross. And they can't deal with that truth. But how beautiful is it that the Old Testament God is prophesied through Old Testament prophets the exact things that Jesus would say and experience on the cross. I don't know about you, but to think that the Creator came down from heaven, manifest himself in flesh, and died in my place. That's why the Bible says, "And they shall call him Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." I don't know if that's real to you, but I'm telling you, it can get realer. Amen? Just praise him right now. Just thank him for what he's done. Isaiah 52. "As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any other man, his form more than the sons of man." But then it says, "So shall he sprinkle many nations." It's like a priestly brush. He's just sprinkling the blood. Isn't that crazy? I don't know about you, but I want to be brushed by that brush. You think Simon Cyrene, who helped carry the cross, got some on him? He touched him when there's a transfer of the cross. He got some of that blood on him. He took it the rest of the way. I mean, think about this. Golgotha, the place of the skull. Aren't all these things beautiful? I mean, how could anybody put all this stuff together? Thousands of prophecies. He came in riding. Daniel talked about coming riding in on the foal of an ass the very day. Prophetically, it happened. Can I tell you something? It's that prophetic right now in your life. Your steps are ordered. There's things happening into your life that are part of your destiny. And if you just stop resisting God and give Him it all, wouldn't that be amazing? Walking in the fullness of who I can be in Him and having that kind of fellowship. Think about this. When Jesus resurrected and He shows up, what's the first thing He said to Him? Peace be unto you. Not as the world gives. My peace. What do you think His peace was like? The only Son of God that's paid the price in full, took away the warfare between us and God. Perfect peace. Shalom. Yeah, they say shalom is nothing missing. Wholeness. See, those things are all available, but if we're not tugging on it, if we're not claiming it. The Bible actually talks about those that inherit the desolate inheritances. There's stuff up there that nobody's even thought they could get. I don't know about you, but I'd like to tweak your interest tonight that there's some stuff you could tap into because Jesus got it all back. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now listen to this. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Does anybody know what that means? Do you know what the acceptable year of the Lord is? It's the year of Jubilee. Jesus is the year of Jubilee. That's when everybody that's indebted, that had to, you know, put their lands in hawk or pawn, they blow a trumpet and there's a certain sound that goes out that everybody knows. I get my inheritance back. It comes back to me. I get everything that I had to give away. Everything the enemy stole comes back to me today. Jesus is your everyday acceptable day. He's your everyday Jubilee. You don't have to wait 50 years to get it all back. Amen. Praise God. Somebody ought to be joyful about that because I'm giving you leverage on the enemy to know how to pray to get it back because it's yours. Now listen, there's two things that happen. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to proclaim the Jubilee, and the day of vengeance of our God. What does that mean? Put those two together. The moment I get my Jubilee, the vengeance goes on the enemy. It's like that in the twinkling of an eye. The moment I give into the cross, the moment I get the inheritance, the moment God releases a vengeance against the enemy, the pursuer of your soul, the one that'd like to bring up your past. Anybody ever felt that when you first got saved? It's like, man, where'd all that nasty stuff go? I feel like I'm on cloud 11 or 7. You just feel so free. You know you're forgiven. But how do we walk through life and get dirty again and some of that stuff creeps up back in us? I proclaim to you again, Jesus is your Jubilee. Amen. I proclaim to you again, He just released vengeance on your enemy. Amen. See, when you understand the power of the blood and the power of the cross and the power of His Spirit. See, the problem is there's too much ignorance in the church. We don't know what He did. No, nobody can teach us all the beautiful things that have been exchanged. I'm going to hurry up just a little bit. I'm talking about this exchange. You know, think about it. Everything Jesus did, every place that He released blood, every place He was pierced, crown of thorns, hands, feet. You can walk in the Spirit. You can do things, touch things in the Spirit. Right? He redeemed us from the curse, the crown of thorns. The Golgotha, He redeemed the mind to give us the mind of Christ. right? I mean, you'll think of other things. It's just like, what did he do? He did it all. He did whatever it takes. In fact, the Bible says, Peter said, by his stripes, it's past tense. By his stripes, you were healed. You were healed. Jesus did everything he had to do 2,000 years ago to affect you this very day right now. He doesn't have to do anything less or more. It's done. That's why I said it's finished. It's finished. You're free. It's finished. Isn't that crazy? You know, in the Old Testament, every year there's a remembrance of sins. The high priest would go in once a year. He carried a pitcher that had a hole at the bottom of it, so it was always letting go blood because you couldn't walk back there without blood, right? So he's always spilling blood on the mercy seat. That's what you had to have, it be in the presence of God. In fact, if you go back further than that, Aaron's sons, remember they brought in strange fires and God broke out and killed them. What that did, it released the fear that was never supposed to be there. Because after that, remember, they tied a rope on the high priest's leg. Just in case he dies back there, I don't want to have to go get him. Right? And they put some bells on his garments. They want to make sure this guy's still moving. That crazy? I mean, if you saw Aaron's sons come out like crispy critters, you think you'd want to go back there? I mean, you're talking about the fear of God. You know what I love about Jesus, though? It says, once he made one offering for all time, it says he was seated. There's no more offering. He satisfied the judgment of God. You know, it goes further than that. Where are we seated at? In heavenly places with him. I don't have to keep working. It's not about works anymore. It's not about doing the works of the law. In fact, this is the New Testament, but it's better called the Renewed Testament. Because see, he didn't take it away. He fulfilled it. He's just added some things onto it that we can only do by the grace and by the infilling of the Spirit of God. Amen? I got the best of both testaments. I got the God of both covenants. Is that powerful or what? I mean, let your mind just expand. Just let it blow your mind. The sky's the limit, right? All things are possible to him that believeth. So here's the exchange rate part. The problem is there's an exchange rate, like the parable of talents. Remember, there's one that had 10, one had 5, one had 1. I got a revelation of this when we had Russians that came to our church, and they went through their story. They had multiple families living on a flat. You know how some of them lived. And in their nation, it was so poor in these areas, they told us a year's salary was $100. Does that blow your mind? I mean, I can make that in a day or even half a day, right? So what I want you to realize is when this man came and gave them talents, this is a currency that comes from heaven. How much greater is the currency that comes from heaven when it's invested in the earth? If I took $100 American money invested in Russia, it might be 10,000 rubles. That's why that man was so wicked. Because he went and hid the one talent. He didn't think it was anything. That's why the Lord says in this parable, if you would only taken it to the bank, just invest it. See, that's like, if you'd only lay your hand, you might not see some great miracle, but there's a transfer that happens and something's happening. It's not up to you. Just invest. Just do something. Take the gift that you have. Because you're only going to get it multiplied if you use it, because you're looking for stewardship. A man must first be found faithful, right? And when he comes, he sees you using it, and the one that had 10 and multiplied, he gave him another 10. But the one who had 1 and buried it, he said, take it from him and give it to the one who'll use it. So I tell you what, I don't want to have what God's given me taken away and given to somebody else. In fact, I'm looking for other people's stuff that they're not using, right? Come on, if you got a mantle and you're not using it, you might as well just give it up, right? The pearl of great price, I talked about that. The treasure in the field. The parable of the virgins. You know, the cry went out. The bridegroom's coming. 10 virgins, they're all asleep. The church is all asleep, even the good ones, right? But when we all hear that cry and we all wake up and we realize we're in the end times, there's things happening all around us. We know the time is short. We awaken. But the five wise had their torches or their lamps, and they had oil with those lamps. They were full lamps, and they had more oil. But the foolish ones, it says, they only took their torches. And they didn't know how long it was going to take for the master to come. So when they're about to run out, the foolish ones went to the wise ones and said, "Give us some of your oil." They said, "No way. Go and buy from those that sell." Now we're getting to that trading thing again, bartering. How do you get oil? What do you have to trade? See, I got a revelation a long time ago. I trade in prayer. I trade my time in being in God's spirit. I've led prayer meetings for 15 years on Saturday nights. It's cost me things to my family. But I know it's blessed. And we've seen all kinds of things. But you know what? I have extra oil. Because I spend time. You got to trade something. You got to trade it tonight. Tonight's a good start to start trading, to start bartering. You know when he said, "Go and buy me gold trodden in the fire"? If you're an investor, you know how to buy low and sell high, right? Let me tell you the best thing you can do. I had a couple experiences, and I've told these stories over and over again. I won't go into the details, but there's a time when God gave me 10 pieces of gold. 10 kugrans worth $3,000. And that was a beautiful miracle. And then there's another time, I was talking about diamonds, that God wants to put kingdom finance in our hands. I actually found a diamond the next day in a baseball field. It was a 3/4 carat fine clarity diamond. It was worth $3,000. So a couple years back at a prophetic conference, you know, it was when all the gold was falling and people were excited about all these manifestations. I told this story to a neighbor and she got all excited. And then she got somebody else to listen. And it's just beautiful to share a testimony like that, right? It's out of the ordinary. But as I was walking up to the altar, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And it immediately broke me on the way up. He said, "You are my gold. And you are my diamonds. So when you find somebody in their low estate, and you invest in them in their loneliness, and that's why a lot of times if I see some guy pushing a grocery cart with a sleeping bag and his dog in tow, that's where I want to invest. I don't hit the street corners with those people. I mean, they may be sincere, but I've seen them actually get into Mercedes. But I chased a guy a couple months back. Had his little dog, his blanket, and he was the real deal. And I don't know what the guy thought, but I parked it back and ran up to him. And, you know, he's kind of startled. And I said, "Can I bless you?" And he's like, "Sure, I guess." And I said, "This is why I want to bless you. I want to get the attention of God. So I want to bless you. Is that okay?" So I gave him money and I blessed him. And I said, "Lord, I bless this man. And I just bless him to know you and have a relationship with you. Because I want to get your attention. Because I didn't feel him like I wanted to feel him." And I'm telling you, it wasn't 5 minutes. I got in my truck and I went down the road. And I felt something overshadow me. And I felt the blessing of God that was so rich. And it was immediate. He saw me. And he blessed me. And I'm on a breakthrough right now that I don't ever want to go back. I feel freer than I've ever felt. And I'm hearing him fluently. So I'm wondering, what else can I get rid of? What else can I exchange? How can I infect somebody else to be that hungry? To fast and pray? Just because he's so beautiful. The thing is, he is so marred. But it's also a testimony of everything he did forever. And the glory of God makes him beautiful. So that's the exchange rate. This is the rate of exchange. The thing is, the rate of exchange is how much will you give? How fast can you receive it? How can you leverage what you have to buy of him gold tried in the fire? How desperate can you be? They say that desperation is the currency of heaven. See, you determine the rate of exchange. I've given you evidence. I mean, it's all there. He's got everything. And he wants to give it you more than you want to get it. But he's just not going to waste it on you. So he's ready to pour it out. Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you want to come up around here. I want to invite Londa because she has a... I don't even know if it's different or the same, or I'm sure she'll have other things about the exchange. But I just want to ask you, while she's speaking, while she's praying over us, if this message has got into you and you just realize there's other things that you'd like to tap into, I just want you to come up here and stand and believe that something can be added. There's a mantle that can fall that will change your life. There's an anointing, a whole horn of oil that can pour in you and like Saul turn in you a different man. There's a light that can shine on you like the Apostle Paul, Saul, and knock you off your horse and turn you around and send you a different way. So Holy Spirit, I just ask you to create hunger in us tonight. I just believe that there's a rumbling in us right now. There's a roaring. There's a new identity forming. There's an insatiable hunger that can never be satisfied except by the Lamb of God. So we invite you, Lord, to come and rest, to come and touch, to come and increase. In Jesus' name, make us into your image from glory to glory. In Jesus' name. Londa, would you just come and...
When Brian was talking earlier about the when Elisha told the king to take the arrows and strike the ground as a prophetic act, I just felt like the Lord was wanting us to do that very thing, a prophetic act. And it costs. He's absolutely described the value exchange perfectly. It costs you. So if you have something, anything that is hindering your walk forward with the Lord, if you feel stuck, if you feel unworthy, if you feel not good enough, if you feel whatever it is, if you want more of God, if you want more of relationship, if you want more of intimacy, if you want freedom, if you want healing, whatever it is that you're after with the Lord, it's going to cost you. The things that it costs us are things that are deception, basically. We've bought a lie somewhere that the enemy has told us. It's going to cost you that lie. That's all it is. It's going to cost you that lie. If you'd like to give up a lie about anything, I don't care what it is, if you'd like to give up something that is hindering you in any way, I invite you to come forward. Are you desperate for the Lord? Are you desperate for more of him? Because if you're not, there's something hindering you from being more desperate. If you want desperation, if you want all-out abandonment, if you want to get rid of fear, worry, I don't care what it is. From he's here to take it, to do that exchange. We're going to use the podium right here as an altar. And we're going to lay that thing that we want to give up on that altar. So I just invite you to just get in your mind what it is that you feel is hindering you, you feel is in your heart that you don't want. If it's anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, even towards yourself, towards your parents, towards others, those things will hinder your walk forward with the Lord. Whatever it is in your mind, get it in your mind. And then there's a reason you're holding on to that, because you know better and you don't want it. The reason is what's holding that in place. So it's going to be something like self-comfort. It's going to bring you self-worth, elevation. It's going to keep you in control. It's going to do something to you, for your flesh. So get that there in your head. Understand what that is. And then I want to invite you to come forward and lay that on the altar. Just start stepping forward. When you get those two things, the thing that you want to give up and the benefit that you're holding on to it, just start moving forward and laying it up on the altar as a prophetic act. I'm going to lead you through a prayer as you're doing. Come on, don't be shy. I see some of you want to move forward and you're holding back. Just go up and touch it. Just lay it on the altar. And then just step back here, and I'm going to lead you through a little prayer. So don't go sit down. Just stay right here. The Lord's all about this exchange business. So just say, Jesus, I recognize that I am holding on to, and then you name it. And I ask your forgiveness for doing this. And I recognize that I'm using this in order to what? Just name the benefit. And I ask your forgiveness for doing this. So now I choose to break my agreement with this stronghold and all of its ungodly benefits. And I command every demonic assignment connected to these things has to go now in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to just cleanse this place out for each one of them. You know what each person is given, and you already have something of kingdom value to give them in return. Just receive it. Receive it. However, let God choose how he's going to give that to you. Just receive. What do you want them to have, Lord? If you feel stuck, just raise your hand. We have people that can help you. How many of you feel like you're getting some freedom? Raise your hand. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Anybody feel like you'd like somebody to pray with you? Just raise your hand and we'll come and pray with you. Chris. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody have physical things that they would like to exchange? Something you'd like to give to the Lord that's physically bothering you, that your body's holding? You're all in perfect health? Wow. There's one back there. Could you guys go pray for Otis?